Well, thank you for joining us today on St. Patrick's Day. It is March the 17th of 2021, and I am Deborah Tavares. I do run a couple of websites. My primary site is stopthecrime.net, but we're going to be focusing on a website that is called primarywater.org. Now, when you search for that site, you must not put spaces between primary and water, because then you will not find the website. They've cleverly created a method in which it is more difficult now for you to find the water facts. And I'm going to be bringing on a guest in a few moments and introducing him in a moment, but I want to say this now. I can't say this more clearly. We are in water wars. We're in a hot war in many levels now, not only in the United States, but worldwide. And we are in USA Inc., as I have been saying for so many years. But now, they're stealing the water for profits and power. In fact, I have a YouTube video up that I did in the year 2015. It is still up on YouTube, on our new YouTube channel called Stop the Crime. YouTube is continuously banning my information and our guests' information as well, which you will learn about in a moment. But I have this video up, and you need to listen to it, and you need to understand the importance of getting to a reliable source of water, which is what we're going to be talking about. The name of the video on my site is called Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. And you certainly need to understand that one of the many wars of the 21st century will be fought over water rather than oil, as in the last century. So we're going to be talking about this today with a gentleman that I've known for a number of years now. He is known as the Hungarian Water Wizard. He and I did a video together called Primary Water Explained. The only way you can find that video now, since it has been deleted from YouTube, they do not want you to know that water is a renewable energy resource. So this will be the best radio show I've done in a long time with the real water facts that we are not running out of water. But we have moneyed controllers, Rothschild and Rockefeller, that are dead set in stealing and metering the water, allocating it, and forcing relocations of communities based on turning off the spigot with the illusion that they've run out of water. So I want to certainly say this before I bring my guest on. This is most important because on December 8th of 2020, just a few months ago, Wall Street began trading water futures as a commodity. Wall Street has begun trading water as a commodity like gold and oil. The country's first water market was launched on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange with $1.1 billion in contracts tied to water prices in California, and this is from Bloomberg News. Now, Bloomberg is part of the controlling vehicle. Do not think of Bloomberg Philanthropies and other philanthropies as being good. They're not. They're part of the takeover of this country and the global countries as well. So when you hear their reports, pay attention. They're telling you how they're going to attack us. So I'm going to talk about my guest, and then I will bring him on, because you need to know a little of his background and understand that he has been attacked too. His primary water article that was on Wikipedia was deleted in 2016. And what this article basically says is that Stephen Reese of California formulated a theory that new water, which never existed before, is consistently being formed within the earth by the combination of elemental oxygen and hydrogen, and that this water finds its way to the surface and can be located and tapped to constitute a steady and unfailing new supply of water, meaning it's a renewable. And there was a nonprofit, and it still is in existence. It's called the nonprofit primarywaterinstitute.org, and you can find this, primarywaterinstitute.org, was founded in 2014 by longtime Reese protege, Paul Power, to educate and train the next generation of primary water specialists. And it is with my great honor and highest regards that I have Paul Power with me right now, who is called the Hungarian Water Wizard. Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the Power Hour and to talk about really the passion of your life to bring water to people. So I'd like for you to just give an idea to people of, I just want to interject this, Paul, and I hope that you don't mind. It's very important for everyone to know that Paul was burned out in Oregon during one of the recent fires, so he lost everything. And we are all being mercilessly attacked in many different ways. So it's with this understanding that you need to understand Paul's position and predicament at this time. But Paul, as we know that you suffered a great loss during the process of losing everything, your home in Oregon, let's tell people about how many water wells you've drilled, roughly.
Between 800 and 1,000.
So between 800 and 1,000 wells. Where are the regions of these wells that you drilled?
Basically, all the continents, including East and West Africa, Europe, the U.S., mostly the West Coast, and Australia. In other words, we pretty much covered the continents.
Okay. And Stephen Reese was your mentor. And I know that you started working with him when you were 18 years old, and that you were starting to then understand about primary water. But I want to throw this in, and I feel it's important because you're hearing a man whose passion it has been to bring primary water to the world. And to understand that in Hungary, where Paul is from, that those people that have been drinking primary water, and albeit not all have realized that they're drinking primary water, because it can easily surface in other fashions, have higher IQs. Isn't that correct, Paul?
Yes, they tend to be at the foot of the Carpathian Mountains, and that's a very interesting phenomenon. Actually, they call it the Hungarian phenomena, which ironically points up the fact that a good many scientists, actually Hungary's two-thirds of its scientists come from that region. So
we're talking about higher IQs, definitely.
Oh, yes, most certainly.
Okay, so for all of you that are listening, I hope that you're understanding that if you are able to drill and get to primary water, which doesn't always require drilling, that you should be considering this. And Paul, I'd like you, now I've been on several primary water drills with you, so I know what that looks like, and I certainly have seen this for myself. But I would like you to explain to people what is primary water? What's the difference between rain and snowmelt, which is atmospheric water? Let's talk about that for a moment.
Well, atmospheric water is water that has been recycled and comes out of the sky in the form of rain, etc., and permeates the alluvial fan, the sands and gravels that are easily penetrated by water. Primary water, on the other hand, is drilled into basically solid rock, maybe very little very little overburden, that is to say, unsorted material, otherwise solid rock. So you're doing the impossible. You're getting water out of solid rock, which people wonder, how could that be? Well, if you understand that primary water is made down below and is forced through these fractures to the surface, then it's easier to understand.
Well, Paul, I wanted to say that we had an earthquake a few years ago in Napa in Northern California, which really destroyed the downtown area of Napa. But what occurred was a creek that had been dry because we were in a engineered lengthy drought, and the creek was just dirt. And after that earthquake, the creek started to run. And all the city council members and the water advisors were scratching their head. They had no idea what happened. Could you explain what you think happened to create that flow of water after the earthquake?
Well, depending on the location, this planet is pretty much riddled with faults and fractures all the way down to the mantle. So what has happened there? Is this earthquake removed some of the blockage that blocked the upward movement of water through these faulted structures, and thereupon letting the water flow free? I don't know if I'm being clear enough, but suddenly this overburden, which was solid, got moved out of the way. Wait. So suddenly this fracture now could produce water.
Well, you know what was interesting, Paul, when I was observing your drilling some of these wells, I was observing the development of the well, and very different from the traditional well drillers of wells where they use a liner, a plastic liner, all the way down to the depth of the well in most cases, and they gravel pack it. So that is preventing the water from coming into the well. Isn't that right?
Well, the idea with the gravel pack is to basically filter out any of the fines or the material that is produced, you know, in the process of the well making water. Well, that is very counterproductive, because if you're in solid structure, like even granite, invariably you only need enough well casing, to be able to seal the surface down to the whatever the county or state or the city requirement is. On the average, somewhere around 30 feet. And otherwise, you leave the well open. You don't gravel pack for sure, because the gravel pack only behaves like a screen. And old screens, eventually, within even a decade or two or less, it will get plugged. And then you lose the well. And then you don't have any more water production.
So we're hearing a lot of wells that are going dry that have been drilled in the fashion that you are explaining. So let me break that down from what I saw, and I want to make sure I'm saying this right, Paul. So if you need to correct me in any way, I wish that you would. What I saw when we were drilling is what you had just said. You case through the soft soil, the alluvial, which means the soft material, till you get down to the rock, and then you don't have to case. The reason you case until you get to the rock is so that soft material will not fall in to the well that you're drilling. Then okay, good. Then what I also observed was to develop the well, which I had never heard about the need to develop a well, which is extremely different from the traditional well drilling. And it's a sad reality that the well drillers are taught virtually how not to get to primary water. But what I discovered and what we did and what I saw was to develop the well. After the well, after it was cased through the soft soil, then to the granite where it wasn't cased, there was dry ice put into the well. And, of course, that can be very dangerous, so you have to stand back and put it in very safely and stand back. And I heard it gurgling like a washing machine, Paul. Explain what that was doing to folks.
Basically, the gases were expanding in the fracture, and slowly, because the dry ice itself is sub-zero temperatures, when you drop it into water, large chunks will settle to the bottom and immediately start to turn into CO2. And that CO2 goes into the fracture. And then you permit that to come back. It cleans the right after drilling, it is very wise, depending on how much production. If you have too much production, you can't do it. But if you have a smaller fracture, it pays to do that so that you're actually cleaning the fracture itself. And then you can pump it out or let it blow itself out. But basically, you develop it this way, and then you start pumping. And really, the rate of pumping is 20% of the expected production. So the development of the well is very, very important.
Well, you know, it's important that you're saying this because people are not aware that that's part of well drilling. And sadly, they rely on hiring a well driller to know these things. And the well drillers do not. Most do not. So what you're hearing right now is what you need to know to be able to make certain is done if you decide to get to primary water. And I will say, I know that a couple of the wells that I was attending that you had drilled, when that dry ice was gurgling around and we were standing back, suddenly it blew out of the well. And I think it blew out of the well up to about 40 feet in height. It was unbelievable. It looked like a geyser. And at first it was brown, a lot of mud, sediment, just like you were saying, was cleaned out. And then it started to turn more clear. So that would be the purpose then of needing to know that the wells need to be developed. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
In some cases, you can't. You're making way too much water, so you can't do that. But in half the time, you can.
Okay. So if the well is already producing, then producing enough gallons per minute, because it, as you were saying, it will vary on what fracture you drill into. But if it's not a tremendous amount of water that you've drilled into, then you should be looking at developing that well. So let's talk about why the information is being taken off of Wikipedia about your information. And I would highly recommend that all of you go. I mirror Paul's website, which is primarywaterinstitute.org. I have primarywater.org. And remember, do not put spaces when you type in primary water. Type it together, primarywater.org. I have the Water Bible that you have that I got from you, Paul, on my website. I think everybody needs to read that because the foreword is by Aldous Huxley. And I was stunned when I found out that water was renewable. I had never been taught that, ever. And I remember when we met a number of years ago and we were on the phone talking late at night. And for many, Paul has an accent, but of course I've gotten used to it. So at that time, I thought I was understanding what he was saying, and it was just too outrageous, Paul, I have to say. At the time, it took me a while to wrap my head around what you were saying, that water is truly a renewable, and it's why we don't have a water shortage. That was hard. When I heard that, I was stunned, quite honestly. What is the reaction from people that you're talking to? I know that you're drilling a lot of wells, and I know that you have many wells scheduled to drill at this moment as well. But 8 to 1,000 wells for the condition that we're in this world, and particularly in Australia with the shortages of water and losing hundreds and thousands of cattle during some of these massive heat events that are certainly created by weather weapons in Australia and everywhere else, and in Africa too, you would think that there would be thousands upon thousands of water of these primary wells. Why is it that you think that there aren't more than the ones that you've drilled?
Well, first of all, there has to be funds spent. You need money to drill, and you need proper drilling rigs, and they are not cheap, and there are not that many. There are quite a few really outstanding drillers, but by and large, well over half of them, they don't even know how to use their equipment. The ones that are good are really good, and the bad ones are really bad. So that's one of the reasons. And also you got to remove the obstacle they really don't want many of these places. The governments don't want more water, because more water means more people and more development and more activity. And
more food. More food, Paul.
Yeah, and more food. Yes. So. The best places that I really enjoyed working was in Africa, because I only work in places as a rule where there is not supposed to be any water. Well, wrong. I don't work anywhere where there is already water. I mean, all kinds of surface water. So I work in places where there is a drought, no water, and stuff like that. And that is very gratifying. It's very gratifying to, like, for example, work in Kenya on quite a few different projects where, you are the only Muzungu, only white man there, and everybody's watching you. They haven't had any water, drinking water. They've been hauling it for many miles.
Now, Paul, we're coming up on a break, and I want you to pick that story up on the other side. So everybody stay there. We're going to pick up primary water drilling and how you can get to primary water.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution. It's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat your man of food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding product, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you. you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature. Unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure, but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.
Each and every one of you are very special to us here at the Power Hour, which is why we offer this special for you. Now through this Sunday, 10% off all Good Health Naturally products at thepowermall.com. That's right, all Good Health Naturally products are 10% off all week long. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or online at our newly designed thepowermall.com store. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry, sale ends this Sunday.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease, it's just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Well, welcome back, everyone. This is Deborah Tavares. I am talking with the Hungarian water wizard, Paul Power, and we are talking about primary water. Paul's website is Primary Water Institute.org, and my website, which also takes you to his, is called primarywater.org, where you can print off flyers and distribute this information far and wide. So all of you that are listening, please do that. Go to my website, primarywater.org. Now, when you type in primary water, you have to omit the space in between primary and water, or you will not be able to get to the website. I found that to be a tricky way that our controllers have created the inability to find out the truth about water. This is critical information for all of you that are listening, because right now they are creating water markets. They're going to start allocating water, cutting off your access to water by having already started to deploy all the wireless smart meters in your cities right now. So you are going to be essentially lynched and dried out and relocated when they tell you your area is out of water. Now, prior to the break, Paul was talking about the best places that he enjoyed drilling the most were the areas that there was seemingly no water and that there were long droughts, and that was in Africa. And he was telling us about Kenya in particular, and Then we started to talk about other things in between the break, and I'm going to go into that now because this is absolutely critical that each and every one of you understand, because we're being deceived by what is occurring with the process of water. So, Paul, we were talking about well drillers hitting water, and they'll hit water, and it won't be, they'll still be in what you call alluvial soil. So for everybody, keep in mind, alluvial soil is not getting you into the rock material. So you may be getting water by your typical well driller, but it's like being in a bathtub. Is this correct, Paul?
That's correct.
And that they have to drill deeper, or even off to a slant in order to get into the rock. Would that be correct?
Well, I prefer not to drill slant, but anyhow, you have to drill. You preferably try to pick places where you have bedrock right off the bat on top, so you don't have any overburden, which is that alluvial soil that you're talking about. Because that alluvial fan makes up a good part of the Great Valley in California, too. And, you know,
now, the Great Valley in California, for everyone that's listening, that would be the San Joaquin Valley. And that produces a large portion of our nation's fruits and vegetables. And they have had limited access to water through the illusion of running out of water. In fact, thousands and thousands of acres have gone unplanted because there's just not enough water. And when you drive up between San Francisco and Los Angeles, you'll see the farmers' huge signs along the main highway saying, "We're out of water. No water, no food." And they keep appealing to Congress. And they're certainly talking about the diversion of the water from the California Aqueduct and other diversions. But they've never been given the truth about primary water. And so farmers are literally going out of water. And many of the migrant workers' communities there, Paul, are out of water, and they have water tanks, and their water is being trucked into tanks, polyurethane tanks, by the way, that are toxic to begin with. But having said that, we were talking about low-lying coastal areas in central California. So for those of you that don't know California well, just kind of think couple hundred miles, I guess, below San Francisco on the coast. Would that be about the right location of the Santa Clara Valley, Paul?
Yes. What I'd like to explain is, if you visualize the valley, visualize a bathtub that is full of sand and gravel, okay? And that bathtub has a bottom. Now, the water to it invariably comes from the sky in the form of rain, fall, or snow melt. Otherwise, you have to pump the water from someplace. You can recharge those aquifers by putting water in there from somewhere. We have, incidentally, plenty of water everywhere, except sometimes where they drill. it absolutely is befuddling to see these people trying to get water in places where you have to go through 500 feet of alluvial fan, but you have to case down before you even get close to where the water really is produced from down below. Anyhow, they do this regularly. In Ventura County, there's the Santa Clara Valley, which is basically the Santa Clara River empties into the Pacific by Point Magoo. That whole valley traditionally had wells before there was a California aqueduct. They would overpump that, then the sea would move in.
So let me stop you right there, because I want to repeat this in layman's terms. I think you did an excellent job, and that sounds pretty layman to me. But in the beginning, my ears did not hear that very well. So let me just repeat, and you correct me if I'm not describing this correctly. So all of you need to think about low-lying areas where the coastal range is low, almost maybe to sea level and maybe a little bit higher than sea level. And when those aquifers are pumped dry, then the sea moves in and fills those aquifers. So then what happens is the farmland then is no longer able to be farmed because of the intrusion of salt water. And you were saying how what they've been doing since the 50s to keep those overpumped aquifers full so they don't lose all that farmland. Would you explain to everybody the enormity and insanity of this deception and how they've kept those aquifers filled so they won't fill with salt water?
Yeah, they take the, now it's easy enough to do. When I say easy enough, it's expensive because they have to get the water somewhere. So they're getting it out of the California aqueduct. So they are recharging those structures with water from the California aqueduct. Now, the problem is with it is that sometimes there really isn't enough water to go around even out of the California aqueduct. So here we are, you know, we've got a real problem here. First of all, overpumping is nothing new. If you understand the magnitude of this, there is a study that suggests that the entire valley, the Great Valley itself, fluctuates in elevation above sea level as much as 2 feet, depending on how much water are being pumped out of the alluvial fan, alluvium. Can you imagine that?
So that's actually creating somewhat of a seismic type of activity, then, is what you're saying, because we've seen cracks in the roads and that kind of thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And not only that, but, you know, that also now puts restrictions on building and any all activity. They say, well, you can't do this because they're overpumping this aquifer. So what do you do? In the California Valley, in the Great Valley, we don't simply have enough water from anywhere that could keep that in an even keel.
Well, I think it's important to add that, of course, with the use of weather technologies that can create the droughts that we're experiencing here in California and elsewhere, that preventing the rain and then creating the manufactured disinformation about where water comes from, rain and snowmelt, and not ever addressing the fact that that's atmospheric water, very toxic and poisonous, by the way, but avoiding any knowledge of what we're talking about right now. So, Paul, we've spoken in the past about the California Aqueduct, and I read on your website, again, Paul's website is primarywaterinstitute.org, and I read on your website, and I have it also on mine, about why we never needed the California Aqueduct in the first place. So could you explain what an alternative to that would have been? It reminds me of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya putting in the wells and bringing the water to his villages. So would you explain why we never needed the California Aqueduct?
Because we could have drilled for a fraction of the cost of the California Aqueduct, a more reliable system of wells, approximately 7,000 of them in all, starting somewhere around Susanville all the way down to the border at the foot of the Sierras, most of them. And we have ample water and far more reliable in that my biggest fear has always been, and God has been really good to the state of California, because we haven't had an earthquake so great as to have dislocated this artificial river system that we have built on the surface. You can imagine what happened, what will happen. And it's going to happen eventually. I mean, there is no way to. The aqueduct itself is concrete. Now, we're going to have an earthquake one of these days when that's going to be dislocated a half a dozen places. And it's going to be hell to glue it back together in a hurry with 18 or 20 million people waiting to drink water.
Well, Paul, I want to add something for the listeners, because certainly they're well aware of my prior documents, and we know that earthquakes are also created artificially. So one can imagine that this would be a perfect way to increase the loss of life, which is part of the genocide policies overall, is cut the water supply. Because certainly people would die without water. Now, Paul, what is your experience, if any, with how primary water wells withstand seismic shifts?
Some of them, depending on how close they are to a new structure. But the fact of the matter is we would not have all of our eggs in one basket. We could afford to lose 10-20% of our wells and still function okay. We just would have to redo. But the aqueduct, boy, that would take, if that aqueduct would get dislocated a half a dozen places, my God, you know, it would take way too long of a time for those people to, I mean, what are they going to do in the meantime for water?
Well, it would bankrupt the state. It would force migration because of the inability to access water. Sounds pretty much along the lines of UN Agenda 21 plans to forcibly relocate people. And so with that in mind...
The earthquakes regarding water wells, because we are not having all of our eggs in one basket, could destroy maybe 20% of the ability to produce water in California. But if we had one major one that along the aqueduct, that would finish the state, as far as I'm concerned. But the
Everyone that's listening, you need to pay close attention to what Paul is saying. Because for all of you, you are, by and large, getting water through artificial processes, through reservoirs and the use of damming up water and having that water delivered into your municipal water supplies. Very toxic. Very toxic water.
Let me add further that all these open reservoirs that presently store the water from the California aqueduct, my God, they are subject to contamination from the atmosphere. God forbid we should have a nuclear accident. What then? All of our surface waters would be contaminated.
Let me pause you for a moment. For many people, they are aware that we've had nuclear events, but they haven't been accidents. And it's been intentional because I've been reporting on that. But we've had Fukushima, and just a week or so ago, it was the 10th year since the Fukushima destruction through the use of weapons, which occurred on March 11th of 2011. And I've reported, Paul, on my last video about the increased gamma radiation within the United States. So we are having those open areas of water poisoned with many things, not just the chemtrails and the dumping from overhead, but the increased radiation as well as the catchment of that flowing over farmlands that use petrochemicals that are deadly and poisonous. So continue, Paul, because I think this is so valuable for people to be hearing.
Let me interject into saying that the difference now is primary water that you are drilled into solid rock. In other words, basically we are drilling into granite, and we are able to seal off everything from the surface. So no surface material that comes out of the sky or because of carelessness would pollute the water source out of that well, because now we are in solid granite and we are able to seal the surface, say 30 feet down, 25 feet down, so that nothing from the surface can get into that water. So we will always be guaranteed safe, clean drinking water.
And higher IQs.
Yes.
So I hope that every one of you that are listening will go to Paul's website and learn the true water facts that are being deceived and being removed from your ability to understand how water really works. Paul, I'm going to have you back on a number of shows to discuss this in greater detail, because the enormity of this information needs many conversations. Many people, I'll get questions, I'm sure, and from those questions, we'll do a show and answer some of those questions that people have. But I would suggest... Yes, go ahead, Paul.
One more item to it, to the listeners. Have you guys ever picked up a glass of water and looked at it and say, hey, what is this stuff? That's two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen. Now, how could that be liquid? That's basically what started me off on this insanity of trying to explain water. Now, how do you explain that? Well, I tell you how you explain that. Those basic elements at depth under in the planet, they still the planet makes more water. Actually, our planet is growing ever so slightly. Because
now, when you mean growing, it's because it's expanding because of water.
Because now water takes up room.
Yes.
The gases you can compress. It takes up not much. But the minute it turns into water, water you cannot compress. So I just wondered if the audience picking up a glass of liquid, water, most of that stuff is because of water, realizing that they are drinking two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. And that's what set me off. I thought, Steve Reese, when I held up a glass of water, said, hey, where did this one come from? How come? And I thought to myself, you know, this is really interesting. I better look into it. The more I looked into it, the more confusing and the more complex it got. It is now easier to explain because now we are extracting hydrogen from water. And some of these vehicles actually, because of combustion, you can use hydrogen for power. And what drips out of the tailpipe of these vehicles? Water. So now it's not so difficult for most people to understand.
Well, I think this is an enormous teaching that you've just discussed in looking at a glass of water and realizing the hydrogen and oxygen elements of that. And then thinking about why the liquid is dripping out of your tailpipe of your car. And thinking about the fact that we are being deceived about where water comes from. We know that Muammar Gaddafi and the Great Man-Made River Project was blown up when we blew up Libya. And Muammar Gaddafi had accessed primary water, and he was certainly directing the underground desert plumbing to a number of the towns and villages there and offering those to his people for free. And that got blown up.
One of the biggest tragedies. Libya all by itself could have fed all of Africa.
You know, well, that's definitely then why they blew it up, right, Paul?
Well, it seemed to me a rather diabolic thing to do.
Well, they sent the country into a humanitarian crisis, and they blew up the water drilling rigs that were acquired from London so that they could not be used to drill again. And many villages were without water after they cut the water supply from the primary water delivery system. So for many of you that are unaware what the United States did to Libya in destroying the Great Man-Made River Project in Africa, you need to know the enormity of keeping and attempting to keep this a secret, even scrubbing Paul's information off of Wikipedia. They do not want you to hear what you are hearing right now. So please, please share this information far and wide. And Paul, we will have another show, and I will post all of these shows for everyone that's listening on stopthecrime.net. Certainly, YouTube is not allowing this information to go out, so you can get to this information by just typing in stopthecrime.net. You will go to the homepage. It will say our new YouTube video channel. Do not press on that at first. We're finding better luck in posting underneath that on our library channel, and we haven't been taken down off of that. So we also, when you sign up, We will also be doing email blasts with these videos within the emails that we're not able to post on YouTube. So there's many benefits to subscribe to StopTheCrime.net, so you get information like you're hearing right now. And Paul, I can't imagine anything more important than what you're saying right now. And we're heading towards the last few minutes of the show today. And if there would be one thing that you could leave the audience with the enormous good news of having renewable water, what else might that be, Paul?
Well, we are not running out of water, that's for sure. The problem is the quality of the water we are drinking, because we cannot occupy the surface and basically drinking out of our bathtub. I mean, we have to go to a place where the water is, in fact, clean. And enough, it doesn't have to be processed. But, Deborah, I'd like to say that it has been a privilege to be asked to participate here again. I think old Steve Reese is smiling from heaven.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Paul, for that late-night discussion and informing me about primary water, because I was literally thrown into a tailspin. And many of you may be as well, because it was such a shock to me to find out that water does not come from rain and snowmelt. And for many of you, you've been watching the snow that's been occurring throughout this country, particularly recently during Texas and other states. It was polynucleated snow, where they could make a snowball and attempt to melt it with a flame underneath, and those snowballs were turning black and they were not melting. So I want you to think of the water that you are drinking, which is atmospheric water, as being more poisonous than we've even had time to discuss on the show today. Paul, thank you very much. We're going to have you back on more shows. So everybody, sign up to StopTheCrime.net. And Paul, blessings to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. It's been a privilege.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.